With so many students learning remotely, software to catch cheaters is big business. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. Every Monday this fall, we're covering how schools are using technology during the pandemic, because Monday mornings are just harder now. It's not only teaching that's happening remotely for millions of students, it's testing too. And many colleges are using software to watch students take those tests. Big providers include Respondus, ProctorU, and Proctorio. Some of them use webcams to track how often students move their heads or eyes or touch the keyboard. Anything out of the ordinary is flagged for teachers to review. Todd Feathers recently co-wrote a piece about a rebellion against this kind of surveillance for Motherboard. One concern? False positives.
Once you start the exam, there are all kinds of environmental factors that can lead to false positives. If you're a parent who has a child in the room, you're much more likely to be looking away from your screen or moving around than somebody who doesn't have a child in the room. If you have ADHD or some kind of anxiety disorder that's tied to taking tests, you're likely to exhibit behaviors that fall outside of the norm of other people in your class. And all of this can lead to being flagged as suspicious activity. You know, we have heard from students who have cried during tests because they're anxious about them and been flagged. Alternatively, I should say, I've also heard stories from professors about students who go to all kinds of creative lengths to cheat from home and have been caught as a result of using this kind of software.
So you talk to students who are really worried about privacy, surveillance, the potential for people to sort of fall outside the spectrum of what the algorithm thinks is normal behavior, but not in fact be cheating. You also spoke with a student of color who couldn't even take the test because the software didn't recognize his face.
This is a problem that is not just related to this kind of software. A lot of these digital proctoring vendors don't create their own facial recognition technology. They are licensing it from other companies that specialize in this. And facial recognition has been shown over and over again in different settings to not be as good at recognizing people of color, not be as good at recognizing women, and to struggle to the point of absolute failure when it comes to people who don't identify as one gender or another.
What do the companies say about these criticisms? I mean, some students have protested the use of this software on campuses. How have the companies reacted?
They've reacted with a response that is pretty common across a lot of different technologies and applications of technologies, which is that this software is a tool. The companies give it to universities and to professors, and all they're doing is providing a quicker, more efficient way for professors to identify possibly suspicious moments during an exam. There has been a lack of response directly to the criticisms about the invasion of privacy and about the way that it can negatively affect people who are underprivileged or are from certain ethnic backgrounds.
Right now, we're, of course, in this moment where a lot more college students and students in pre-K through 12 are at home taking online classes. If and when we all get to get back together again, do you see these companies continuing to thrive and there being enough demand?
It's a million-dollar question. I think that it's a pretty fair bet to say that once students are back in classrooms of all types, this will not be quite as widely used as it is now. But that being said, some of these companies are looking for other ways to expand their customers. For example, Proctorio has recently announced a partnership with McGraw-Hill, the textbook maker, to integrate its services into some of those online textbooks. And there's certain kinds of assessments for certain professional certifications, such as nursing, which do require, as part of state laws, that the exams be proctored. And so if those aren't taking place in a physical room, or even if they are, but there's the option to do it online, there is a space where tools like this are not only a possibility, they're arguably required by law.
Todd Feathers wrote about proctoring software with Janice Rose for Motherboard. And now for some related links. You can check out Todd's reporting at marketplacetech.org. And while you're there, back in April, the nonprofit education technology group EDUCAUSE surveyed colleges about remote proctoring during the pandemic. More than three quarters of the institutions surveyed were either using or considering using online services. But many reported some conflict about the technology. Cost and student privacy were the most widespread concerns. Many colleges also have honor codes and see spying on students as maybe not the best way to build a culture of trust. And here's what else we're watching in tech. On the last show, I mentioned Facebook is speeding up its creation of a new oversight board, though still not in time to really deal with issues that come up during the election. Well, some critics are tired of waiting for the company to do more to root out misinformation and outright lies that could undermine the election and suppress voters. On Friday, a few dozen researchers, civil rights activists, and journalists announced they formed their own group to monitor and critique how Facebook moderates content on the platform. Calling itself the Real Facebook Oversight Board, the group holds its first meeting live on October 1st via, naturally, Facebook. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.